everybody. I'm Luke. I'm one of the staff, those old, crusty staff workers. And what a privilege it is to be with you here, not only today, but generally. So thanks for having me. Let me see if I can angle this and jiggle it so that it's... How's that? Can everyone hear me? Is that good? Well, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear about the church. We pray, Lord, that you would help us understand what you are doing in your world through your church and what they are, these churches, these gatherings are to look like. Please help me to speak faithfully and clearly. And if there are things that I say today that are not in accord with what you think is true, we ask, Lord, that those things would drop to the ground and that your truth would be the thing that we take away, that changes us, that challenges us, that helps us to live for Jesus. That's in his name we pray. Well, today we're going to continue on in church and we're going to be thinking about the community of church. The community. But I want to start off where there's a warning. There's a danger in thinking about the community of church. There's a German pastor and theologian called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He spoke about the danger like this. He who loves the dream of a community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial. See what he's saying? We can destroy the community that God has created with the expectations that we bring to it. It's a warning, isn't it, as we think about community. We all have expectations and hopes for what church community should be like, about good, deep relationships, about shared values, about theology, etc. But if we're not careful, we can take all of our expectations, our dreams, our hopes about the church community that God has created and given us and create problems. For often our hopes and of the community are based around us, what we like, what we want. And so as we consider the Christian community in church, we need to be careful. We need to ensure that we see the community as God does. And we appreciate what he does by putting us in these communities and so how we might best live in them. So, what is the church community? What's it like? What does it do? Now, there are two ways to consider this. We could focus on the internal dynamics within the community or the external impact and interactions of the community, what the church looks like in church and what it looks like as it engages with the world. Now, today we're going to consider the internal, and next week we'll consider the external. So today we're going to consider the community that God has created in the church, and we're going to look at these three things: what the community is, how the community acts, and why the community is as it is. So, firstly, what the community is. Well, to begin, remember that the church, as we've looked at over those past few weeks, if you've not been here, I'll try and summarize it now. The church is a gathering of God's people who've been brought together, united to Christ by the Spirit. Ultimately, this gathering work of God, this people, are gathered in heaven. And our local churches are like manifestations of that heavenly reality, like embassies of a country pointing to that ultimate heavenly church. In our local churches, the Holy Spirit, he draws us together as those who are already drawn together in Christ. So what does that say about our community? Well, we need to consider what's going on as God creates this community. So in 1 John 1, John writes this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. He's speaking about Jesus, of course. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John and the other eyewitnesses proclaim what they have seen. They've seen Jesus. They have touched Jesus. They know Jesus. And they proclaim him so that those who hear and believe might have fellowship with them. Now, fellowship is this word we kind of throw around a bit. It becomes a bit of a Christian jargon word, doesn't it? It kind of just means hanging out, really. Like, we're going to have a time of fellowship, a time of hanging out. But there's so much more to the word. Fellowship indicates a kind of commonality. It's a close relationship. It's based on shared possessions and interests. It's a community. And so do you see what he's saying? Through the proclaimed gospel, those who hear and believe have fellowship. They have community. And it's not just with the disciples. It's also with God. Their fellowship, their community is with the Father and with his Son and through the common possession of God himself through the Holy Spirit. Christians are in fellowship with God. They are in community with God. That's the core of what a church community is. It is a community in Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer again, he says that the community is one that is through Christ and in Christ. Through Christ and in Christ. Christians are in a community only through Christ. What he means by that is it's through Christ's work on the cross that they are a community. By the cross, Christ brings peace, firstly with God, and that brings peace with one another. The church community is one that only exists through the reconciling work of Jesus, through his reconciling blood. The church community is one that happens through Christ. And Christians are a community in Christ. We've spoken about this previously, that by the Spirit, we Christians are united to Christ. And this union with Christ, it's not only an individual thing, but it's a corporate thing. We are in Christ together. We are the corporate body of Christ. And we will be like that for eternity. We are a community in Christ forever. That's what the church is. Christian community is one that is in Christ. It's founded on Christ's work to bring us into right relationship with God. And it's through this work that we're together, and in him we remain together. God has brought a diverse community of people together in Christ. Your church community or Christian communities are not based on who you get on with or who you like or who you are like, who you have similarities to. They're based on who Christ died for, who Christ has united to himself by the Spirit, who Christ has welcomed into relationship with God, who Christ has united together for eternity. That's what the community is. Let's see how the community acts. And spoiler alert, it's in love. So how the community acts. The church is in fellowship, in community with the triune God, in community with the Father and the Son by the Spirit. And so the community itself enters into this the Trinitarian relationship of God. The triune God, who is community within himself, Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect relationship. Perfect loving relationship. And that's what we are welcomed into. The church is a community that is welcomed into that relationship and so echoes the relationship of the Trinity and so relates to one another in love. Again, 1 John. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. That's believing in the gospel, trusting in Jesus and so being welcomed into that community. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. God is three and one, perfect love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Relationships within the community are like those within God. The church is a community of love. And we're going to look at three ways that this plays out. Firstly, loving one another. The vast majority of the instruction in the New Testament for the church is this: love one another. God is love, and so the church must love. I'd love to read you this lovely quote by a guy called D.B. by Knox. He's an Australian theologian. He basically says that to love somebody, what does it mean to love somebody? It's about other person-centeredness. In essence, love is an other person-centeredness, an attitude of compassion, an intentional action for the good of others. And today, I'd like to focus on one part of that. That is, love, that love is for the other. God loves the other. He loves us, those who are completely other, and he acts for our good. He welcomes us into loving community within himself. Now, in our churches and here at ES, there are lots of people who are other to us, be that in age. People are different to us in age, in gender, in background, in language, culture, in education. And we are called to love them, love the other, to care for them and to act for their good. But it's not always easy to love people who are different, is it? I'm sure you've got different people within your family. It's not very easy to love your families always. But we are called to bear with one another in love. Now, it can be hard to relate to care for those who are different, just like in our families. So here are a couple of tips of how you can try to love people who are different to you. You can pray for them. You can seek and be intentional about ways to love them. So plan to love them. And I think you just treat people as people. Though they're different, we're actually all different. We're all unique little snowflakes. Though these people are other and different, they are a unique, interesting, wonderful person who God's made. So treat them as that. Sometimes it's hard to love one another because at times we need to bear each other's burdens. Life is hard, and there will be times when we undergo suffering and struggle. And part of what it means to love the other and be in the community of love is that we will seek to bear each other's burdens. This will mean that as we seek to love and care for each other, sometimes it will be asymmetrical. There will be times when we carry the weight of those who are suffering, where we make special effort to do what is best for others, knowing that they're not in a position to reciprocate. You take the initiative to work out time to spend together. You take the initiative to do that. You help people with their assignments. You make them meals. We pray for people when they aren't able to do that themselves. We bear their burdens out of love. And there will be times when we struggle and others will bear our burdens. We bear one another's burdens. That's one way. Those are some ways we can love one another. And another great way that we can love the other is to welcome those who are different to you. God has welcomed us, and so we seek to welcome others. And it's not just a hello or at the start of church or the Bible talk here, but it's a welcome into relationship, isn't it? To get to know people, to seek to then act for their good. And I'm going to take a moment now just to talk about ES and what this might mean for us, this kind of welcoming attitude. Now, in a group this size, there are always going to be issues surrounding friendship and relationship. ES, it's Evangelical Christians, it's a big group, right? It's a growing group. And that means, sadly, that it's not going to be possible for everybody to be incredibly close friends with everybody else. We're all human. We're finite. We have limited hours in the day and limited room in our heads. It's not possible for us all to be best buddies. That would be wonderful. And in a large group, things can be intimidating, can't they? Building relationships can be slow and frustrating. Perhaps there are people that you kind of wish you were closer friends with, but it just hasn't quite happened yet. Or you just find it difficult to have those conversations in this really crowded, loud room at the Bible talk or at church, and you feel like you're just sort of like left with no one cares about you. Well, we're called to love one another, but we're limited in our ability to be friends with everybody. So what can we reasonably expect from a group this size in terms of relationships and friendships? How does that work? Well, I've got a couple of things to say. For those who've been around a while and have a large group of close friends, it means that you need to look up and look around. You are to love and welcome others. There are plenty of people around who are new or who are perhaps feeling on the outer. And so if you have a whole bunch of close friends and you feel secure, you need to go out of your way to welcome others. Invite people to social events. Invite bigger groups to social events. Cut down on the inside jokes when others are around. And maybe don't parade your fabulous social life on Insta all the time. I'm so trendy, I said Insta, I know. Friends who are in that situation, don't destroy the community that God has made with your subconscious dream of community. that is a truncated community that's just made up of your friends. I know it's not intentional, but sometimes that's what happens, isn't it? Having said that, it's not the responsibility of those who appear to be have plenty of friends, because it's not always the case, but it's not the responsibility of them to make sure that everybody in the room, everybody in the community has a full social calendar. It's their responsibility to love and welcome you, love and welcome all of us, to include them, to encourage them in Christ, but it might not mean that you become best mates. For those who find themselves on the outer and you feel excluded, the advice is surprisingly similar. Your responsibility is to love and welcome others. Now, it might seem that you come into a room or something like this, and it's full of people who are too busy to be friends with you, and everybody's all sorted out. But if you stop and look around, you'll find loads of people who would love to be friends, who would love to be welcomed and included. And so instead of waiting for people to come to you, get on the front foot. Oftentimes in communities, you kind of get out what you put in. So can I encourage you, if you're feeling like on the outer, try, and I know that's hard, but can I encourage you to try, to get on the front foot, to introduce yourself to people, because they should be doing it to others. Don't focus on trying to be friends with those who seem the most popular, ridiculous as that is in a Christian community where we're all hated by everybody, or the most fun. But rather, instead of focusing on that, rather focus on the people that God has given you to welcome and love, that God has put around you to welcome and love. Don't destroy the community with your subconscious dream of the community. Inclusion in a particular subgroup of the community. It's so easy to stick with those who are like us, isn't it? But it's far better to love and welcome others, those others that God has put in your life. We all want to be included, to be welcomed. At core, we want to be accepted. And sadly, Christian communities will not scratch that itch. But thankfully, God has fully met our desire. He has completely accepted us in Christ. We are welcomed, we are included in relationship with God. And so already having been accepted by God, we can accept and include one another. Let's work together at ES to be an inclusive, welcoming place, realistic of our limitations. As the community of love in Christ, we seek to love one another. Second, serving one another. The community of love works in love to build up one another into Christ. We looked at this passage. I'll just read it here. Ephesians 4 says, "They're speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." The community of Christ, out of love, is to speak the truth to one another to see itself built up. And God gives a diversity of gifts to his church, a diversity of people with a diversity of strengths, And all in order to build up the church, to build up Christ's body. God has given us to one another in our diversity to serve one another so that together we'll grow into Christ. And that's going to look different for all of us. We're all different, gifted by God in lots of different ways. So our service will look different. Not all of us will do up the upfront stuff. Not all of us will teach Bible study or lead things like that. Not all of us will sing. Not all of us will do. But the goal is that we build one another up in Christ. Whatever you can do, do for the sake of building each other up. That could be a practical demonstration of the love of Christ, helping bring people along to church who can't make it. It could be getting to church and setting up so that people can come and hear the gospel proclaimed. Or if you're great socially, you can serve others who are more quiet, including them and introducing them to others. The diversity of people and the diversity of gifts is for the whole community. Don't devalue each other's gifts or your own. It's good that we're different. I need to keep telling myself this one. I'm insecure in myself, and so I feel intimidated when I see the way that God has gifted everybody else, all the others, especially all you guys in ES. not the best preacher. I'm not a courageous evangelist. I'm not a caring shoulder. I've got too high a shoulder to cry on. I'm not an entrepreneurial action taker. I'm not the most handsome, etc. But I need to keep remembering that God gives a diversity of gifts. They're all needed. Like the varied instruments in an orchestra. They're all needed to build the body. So I tried to be thankful for the gift of others and the gifts that God has given them. You see, your gifts are ultimately not about you, but about others. So it may be worth considering what your gifts are, how God has made you, and how you can serve others and build them into Christ. Maybe ask trusted friends what they think your gifts are. And work at getting better at the things you're not good at, especially those things related to speaking the truth in love. Get better at understanding God's word and speaking it to others, either formally as a Bible study leader or informally, as you seek to encourage a friend to live for Jesus by sharing God's word with them. Training courses coming up next week, so they're great ways to do that, right? As a community of love in Christ, we serve one another. Finally, the church community is where people grow together in godliness. The community of people teach each other from God's word what it means to live rightly as those in Christ. Colossians 3 says this, that it says that we should let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. The church community seeks to teach each other from God's word about what it is to live for Christ and encourage each other to grow in godliness. That might be formally in sermons, it might be in your Bible study, it might be informally as you chat to one another over lunch or as you catch up over coffee, as you pray for one another. The church community is where you're taught how to do it, but it's also a place where you can have a go at living for Jesus, where you can put living for Christ into practice by living alongside others. You know, and as you do so, you're going to make mistakes. And that actually helps you better live for Christ. We learn from our mistakes. We learn actually with live ammunition. And so the community of love is kind of like a gym. May not look like it, but I used to go to the gym and lift weights. And I went with this gym buddy, my mate Scott, who's like he's a beast. He's massive. And he used to teach me everything I should do, right? So he taught me all the right things. And not only did he pass on information to me about how to lift weights without killing myself, I got to try out what I'd learned in the gym. And he'd give me instruction and correction and feedback. He helping me to become a better weightlifter. So it is in our Christian communities. We speak the truth of God's word in love to one another. And then we seek to live out this truth by loving those around us. We get our hands dirty. And then we help each other as we do this, encouraging and correcting one another in love. All that we might grow up into maturity. That is Christ. As a community of love in Christ, we grow into the likeness of Christ together. Now, this picture sounds great, doesn't it? But sometimes it can be a bit far from reality. So why does God want the community to look like this, a diverse group of people who don't quite act as they should? And it's because of whose community it is. For the church community is ultimately a divine community. Church is a community that is founded in fellowship with God and it acts in love. But it's not a perfect community yet. And before we get despondent about that failure, I think this is where we need to remember that quote from Bonhoeffer at the start. Do I have it again? Yeah, great. He who loves the dream of a community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter. So what is the reality and why is it better than our dreams? We are a diverse group of sinful and imperfect people trying to love one another. There's a friction in community as we try to get along, isn't there? But don't let that friction discourage you. It might not be the dream of community that you have, but is the reality of the community that God has created and put you in. The communities that we're in are far from perfect. But you know what? It's okay that we're not a perfect community yet, because that's how God's determined it to be. But why? Well, I think that as the church community seeks to love but does so imperfectly, it actually helps them to better reflect who the community is, or more accurately, whose community they are. And what I mean by this is that when the community in its diversity and imperfection seeks to love one another, doesn't quite make it, it forces the community to grow and act in ways that reflect the character of God. As we bear with one another in love, there's going to be friction, disagreements, disappointments, frustrations. But as a community that's committed to loving one another, as we navigate these issues, it creates a wonderful byproduct. This friction grows us in patience, helps us to be thankful for others, grows us in our kindness, our gentleness, our mercy, our self-control. It grows us in love. And consider what this would look like as it's demonstrated throughout the entire community. A community that seeks to care for one another, to be patient with one another, forgive one another, to learn to be thankful for one another, to be kind to one another. It's a community that's seeking to love each other. And remember whose community it is. Exodus 34 tells us about the God whose community it is. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. As the community acts in love, in all its diversity and imperfection, God is using it to grow us into his likeness, so that as a community we would better display the one whose community it is. The church is the community of Christ. As it acts in love, displays the character of God who they're in community with. That's a community that's far better than I could dream up. So, go and love the community that God has put you in. Seek to love and serve that community so that you might display the character of God, the one who has welcomed you into his community in Christ. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into community with you in Christ by your Spirit. We thank you for the Christian community that you have put us in with others. Please forgive us for the way that we sometimes undermine your plans for your community with our wrong expectations and frustrations. Help us to love those you've put us with, to selflessly care for others, to welcome and share life with them, to serve them. And we ask that you would use our Christian communities in all their clunkiness to grow us into the image of Jesus. Also that we would be communities that reflect who you are, all for your glory's sake. Amen.